So today we're in the sixth week of our celebration of Easter and Christ's resurrection. And in a couple of short weeks, we will be coming to yet another wonderful celebration, that of Pentecost and the coming of the Holy Spirit. And so what we hear in today's gospel is the fact that Jesus is preparing his disciples for that eventuality, for the Spirit to come. And they want to know, and they are expecting to find out what will happen next. And this particular setting is still within the discourse at the Last Supper. And at this point in time, Jesus has already washed their feet for them, and he has told them that they too must serve others the way he has just served them. And again, it's very strange for them to hear this, because the tradition is that the master is the one who teaches and receives service, and the disciples are those who are taught and are to give service. But Jesus is reversing that, and he's telling them, no, that the master is serving you. And there's good reason for this, and there is good reward. He tells them, if you love me, you will keep my word. And my Father will love you. And we, Jesus and the Father, will come to you and make our home with you. Jesus further elaborates and says, the word you hear is not mine alone, but it's from the Father who sent me. And even as we hear these words, we hear a direct invitation into the life and love of the union that exists between Jesus and the Father. But he doesn't stop there. He tells them one more thing. He talks about a helper, a teacher, someone to remind them of all that Jesus taught them and of all that they have learned. They've been with him for 3 years or more, and he has taught them and showed them many things. And you can't blame them if they couldn't remember this all on their own. And so Jesus offers them one more contact within the Godhead, and that is the Holy Spirit. And what a marvelous gift it is when we are given this Holy Spirit. But I can imagine that they were wondering, what can they expect from this relationship? How will the Holy Spirit work in their lives? And we likewise say, how does the Holy Spirit work within us? And so we see in our reading from Acts of the Apostles that we have some very distinct clues as to how the Holy Spirit works. You see, Paul and his missionary fellows are on their second trip. And they've already decided, previous to this reading that we have today, we hear that they've decided they should continue spreading the news throughout Asia. Now, what they mean by Asia is Asia Minor, what we know as Asia Minor. We know it as Libya and Syria and those parts of Turkey that are part of that area. And so that's where they thought they were supposed to go and extend their efforts. But they're thwarted in those efforts. And earlier in the chapter, they report that the Holy Spirit prevented them from preaching in all of Asia. But how did they know that? Well, they had already experienced a deep life of praying together and working together in mission and ministry. And they had a kind of internal sense about what they were to do, how they were to do it, and where they were to go. In some of the epistles, for instance, we hear that Paul has been sent to another place, but yet he writes to a church and says, I really long to be with you again, if the Spirit allows me to do so. So there's this sense that they want to be in certain places and among different kinds of peoples, but the Spirit says, not yet. So they're thwarted in their efforts. Likewise, this group of fellow apostles and evangelizers are going to continue to pray together and confer to each other what it is they've received as leadings in their prayers. And they're going to follow what their experience shows is the best way forward as the Holy Spirit leads them. In this case, they are to pass through Asia Minor and go directly to the Aegean Sea. And that's when Paul has his vision. A man from Macedonia pleads for help. And this group becomes convinced that that's where they're supposed to go. So they travel across the sea to Macedonia, which is in Europe. It's part of Greece. And they end up in the major city of Philippi. And there they follow their usual pattern of evangelizing. And that is to look for a synagogue in which they can worship on Sabbath. And if there's no synagogue, then they find a place on the shore of a river or a lake or the sea, and they look for a praying congregation there. And they find one. It's a group of women, which I think is quite ironic, because the vision said it was a man who wanted them to come to Macedonia. And I've got to just chuckle about that when they got there and they followed all the leadings, they found a group of women. And these women were led by a very influential businesswoman named Lydia. She's a woman of deep faith and a woman of means. And it's interesting to note that she too is being influenced by the Holy Spirit. And how can we tell? Well, she's already a worshiper of God. She's a seeker. She was curious to know more, and she eagerly listened to what Paul had to say. She was drawn to worship at that spot with others who were like-minded. Her heart was open to accepting this message of salvation, and not only was she baptized, but she influenced her whole family to also be baptized. And she was insistent to share the hospitality of her home with those traveling apostles. To quote Luke, "She prevailed upon us." How could they say no? And I think most of us can just think of some instances where we might have been somewhere and maybe we wanted to leave an event early and someone convinced us we had to stay, or we didn't want to stay for dinner and they said, "You've got to, I've already got it in the oven," or, "You're not going to stay at that hotel, you're going to stay with me." There are people like that in our lives who prevail upon us, and I think Lydia was very much like that. And so we see the work of the Holy Spirit very evident going on here, preparing the people in Philippi through their worship and making them eager to learn more about God's ways, and preparing the apostles by urging them away from some places so that they could go toward the people who would be most in need and most responsive. The Spirit directed those women to keep meeting in the same place for prayer, and directed the disciples, the apostles, to travel to that particular city. It was a very populous area. They could have gone other places. But that particular city at that particular time and meeting in that particular place. And then there's the fruit of this meeting. the fruit that the Philippians received Christ and were baptized. Lydia offers them the lodging while they're there, and the community grows and becomes one of Paul's favorite churches. And I want you to listen to how he addresses them in his letter. I thank my God for every remembrance of you, always in every one of my prayers for all of you, praying with joy for your partnership in the gospel from that first day until now. I'm confident in this, that the one who began a good work in you will continue to complete it until the day of Jesus Christ. It's right for me to think about you this way because I hold you in my heart, for all of you are my partners in God's grace. For God is my witness how I long for all of you with the tender affection of Christ Jesus. And this is my prayer, that your love may overflow more and more with knowledge and full insight to help you determine what truly matters. That's how Paul begins this letter of love to the people of the Philippian church. And it shows the measure of grace that was so deeply shared by Lydia, her house church, and by Paul and his companions. To me, it's a sure indication of the work of the Holy Spirit. And I myself could speak for days and weeks about the work of the Holy Spirit in my own life, as I followed what I perceived to be a call to ordained ministry. There were many instances in which I discerned, always with the help of others, what my particular call would entail. And I can tell you this, that in each church that I ever served in, whether as a lay person or an ordained minister, I was called to that work by the Holy Spirit, called to serve others, and always, always called to be served by them in ways I could never have imagined or foreseen. And in each instance, I had a God-given grace I could offer them, and they always had a God-given grace to offer me. And sometimes it was absolutely astonishing how I ended up being in the right place at the right time to either give or receive what the Holy Spirit had in store at that moment. Kind of like the apostles in this story. Don't stop in Asia. Come to Macedonia. And he found a group of women there after being beckoned there by a man. The Holy Spirit is so full of surprises for us. But if we take one lesson from this story, it might be this. Pray in earnest for what you truly need and what you are urged to in Christ to want deeply. Pray for what you truly need and truly want. And then listen and obey. Jesus promised the Holy Spirit as advocate and guide, and so you can rely on that help always. And now I just want to pray with you once more that collect that we shared this morning. Oh God, you have prepared for those who love you such good things as surpass our understanding. Pour into our hearts such love toward you that we, loving you in all things and above all things, may obtain your promises, which exceed all that we can desire. Through Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, forever and ever. Amen.